I got to say, I never thought, you know, and you might disagree with me, I'd go into 2012 having questions about this offense.
Patriot offense right there taking advantage and turning it into probably the back-breaking touchdown.
Guys, I guess I had nothing to worry about, right?
Maybe you should listen to us more often. We told you last week not to worry.
Toss sweep to Woodhead to the right, trying to avoid a hit. He's not going to be able to do it. And the Patriots are going to send the punt unit onto the field.
Fred, I'm worried about the offense. I'll say it now. It's week three. I'm worried.
Okay.
You were right. You're the boss. You're always right.
Okay, so why are you worried?
Because we don't play Wes Welker. No, I mean, obviously, this is two-plus weeks now. They haven't looked great, and I think it's a good Arizona defense, not great. I thought it was a great Patriots offense at home in the opener. It just doesn't look right, whether, you know, they're force-feeding Brandon Lloyd, whether Brady seems like he's getting a little out of whack with the pressure and stepping up and all that. It's just, you know, going with the running game, trying to establish that. It's just not clicking.
I feel like it's going to be a trash talk segment that's going to break out here because, you know what, I'm not worried about the offense. I'm still not worried. Now, I'm not going to try to paint a rosy picture of what we saw on Sunday. That was not good.
I'm just confused.
Listen, I still think there's plenty of talent here. I think they are making a little bit of a transition here. I think they are trying to run the ball
from
a little
bit
more.
From a great offense to a mediocre one.
No. I think it's still great. I thought they were fine on opening day in Tennessee. I'll take that any day of the week. You know, and they're moving the ball up and down the field, scored 27 points on offense, had another 7 on defense. I don't have any problem with that. I don't expect to run the ball as well as they did that day. And they're trying to figure out exactly what they're going to do in the different personnel groupings. I think there's a little bit of a transition here, but they had one bad game. I'm not worried. I'm not worried.
Well, look, Hernandez goes down, and usually I'm one to panic. But I'm with Paul.
You were worried before Hernandez went down.
Yeah, but you told me last week not to be worried. So I went into the game not worried. Hernandez goes down, and I still wasn't worried. I said, okay, they'll step up. They'll be okay. Giving credit to the Arizona defense, but still thinking to be okay. They weren't. And, you know, I still look at an O-line that, to me, the word is unsettled, especially on that right side. Until I see 3-4 games with the same 5 playing out there for the whole game, I'm going to be worried about the offensive line. Less about Solder. I think he's doing okay. It's that right side right now that's unsettled. That makes the whole line unsettled, in my opinion. Brandon Lloyd, he's making catches, but they're targeting him a lot, and every catch seems to be an event. It's nothing's clean. It's always either an acrobatic, you know, catch or an acrobatic drop. Not drop, but just a miscommunication. So I'm still worried about that. And he's the guy, really, that's going to make that wide receiver core tick because he seems to be the number one option after the tight ends.
And I hear what Paul's saying, the transition. I just wonder, A, if the transition needed to be made, and B, is it going to be successful? Where are we? Because they're definitely working new guys in. You talk about Brandon Lloyd, who they're trying to feed the football, 13 targets. Stephen Ridley, they're clearly trying to establish the running game. But at the end of the day, is it just the offensive line? Once that's settled, and that's where they lost this game.
I think that's
a
big part of it.
Once that's settled, are we going to say, okay, we're going to be back to, you know, one of the best offenses in
football? I do think it's
because you started before these changes, before we had to do X and Y and all this. You started as one of the best offenses in football, and it feels like right now you took a step back. But is it one step back for 2-4?
I think settling that offensive line is a big, big part of it. Because remember, another thing that we saw on Sunday was a little bit of, you know, lack of confidence, shall we say, from Tom Brady when he dropped back. You know, running around. We even talked about before this meeting, in our other meeting, that maybe he should just run forward and get a few yards rather than trying to make something happen at times. You know, he's unsure of what's going on around him, and until he's confident about his pocket and protection, that affects the game too. So I think it begins with that offensive line.
Well, I will say one area of concern for me beyond what we've talked about is Hernandez's health, because I do think he was a focal point of a lot of what they wanted to do. I think the two tight end package is nothing new. We saw it extensively last season, but I think they want to be out there. Andy talked about it a couple of weeks ago. They want to be out there and with the same 11 guys doing whatever they want. They want to run the ball. They want to throw it. They want to throw it deep, short. They want to do it with the same 11 guys. I think that works because you have Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, two very unique talents, and two talents that really meshed well with Tom Brady. Now, whether or not Kellen Winslow can come in here and do the same kind of thing, we don't know. We'll find out. We'll see what his health situation is like. We'll see how quickly he can get up to speed.
I started this season saying I had less questions about the defense than I do in the offense. I'm standing by that. But my question to you is, should I be worried going in against Baltimore about the offense?
No.
I said my piece. Listen, I'm not expecting them to go out and score, you know, 35 points every single week. I think this offense is good. As long as Brady is healthy, it's very good. And I really, no, I'm not concerned.
Okay.
Not at all.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Been a lot of talk about the rookies on defense, and rightly so with the way Chandler Jones and Dont'a Hightower have played in the early going, but one guy who hasn't gotten a lot of credit is Kyle Love, and you know what? He should. He looks like a mini Vince Wilfork out there, and I really shouldn't say mini, maybe a young Vince Wilfork, because this guy is immense in the middle. He's collapsing the pocket, he's penetrating in the backfield, making plays against the run, and another guy whose youthful enthusiasm is really shining through. Kyle Love, I think, has been a very underrated part of this front seven so far. I'm going to stick on the defensive side of the ball right now and talk about something that I think has been kind of interesting the first couple of weeks. That's the situation at nickelback. In the first game, it was all Rasai Dowling. Sterling Moore, I think, played one snap that day. Well, against Arizona, it was totally reversed. It was Dowling on the bench, and Moore was out there right from the start. I think Moore's the better option. I think he's a better cover guy. I liked what he did last year in the postseason in the clutch. I thought he was very competitive, and I'm still wondering about Dowling. So it's going to be interesting to see how this mixing and matching goes on going forward. But right now, I think Moore is the better option. Stephen Ridley is an interesting running back for this team, and I think an area that he gives you that's much different than the pass with Ben Jarvis Greenellis. We talk a lot about his dynamic ability as a ball carrier, but one other thing Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels have been able to do with him is keep him on the field on all three downs, even when you want to go empty in the backfield. He can split out wide, and I think he's a relevant option in the passing game. He's made some plays as a receiver and not just on screen passes. I'm not sure you could do that with Greenellis. Stephen Ridley has really shown me a lot of versatility in the early going. Versatility I wasn't sure he had. He's an impressive athlete.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Well, I was going to play again. I mean, the decision as far as would I ever play here again.
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
Time for Images of the Week. This is the second week in a row that Brandon Lloyd made the cut. What I like about this picture, of course, this is the big fumble at the end. Look how many blue jerseys around that ball. Bright spot of the game was the defense. Finally, over the weekend, Troy Brown was inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame. It was a great event on Saturday.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
We got Anthony Dion Branch back here for a third go-round with the New England Patriots. Evidently, every time we play Baltimore, you come back.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy, isn't it? I know. That was the first thing my agent said when he gave me the call. So, hopefully... Hopefully it turns out good, like it's been turning out.
Now, the obvious question, Dion, is, you know, what was it like? You know, the period, you know, you missed two games.
Right.
What was, you know, what went through your mind? What was it like sort of being on the sideline and watching for the
right.
first time
I know.
Of your pro career?
Exactly. Well, what was it like? It was a lot of relaxing, you know, a lot of family time. You know, I think that you can't get back the days, the months, the years that you miss when with your family from work. And I think that's mainly what I was doing, you know, working out, spending a lot of time with the family, my wife and my kids. Other than that was about it, you know, watch a little football here and there, but when you got Liberty kids, you don't have time to watch too much football.
Believe me, I know. did you have any opportunities? Other than, obviously, mm-hmm. there was contact here because,
exactly.
I mean, we looked at that
yeah.
locker and it was basically untouched. So
yeah.
you had an idea you might be back.
Right.
But did you have opportunities to go elsewhere?
Yeah, that was a lot of interest. Across the league. But, you know, I think most importantly, my decision-making came off of what's best for my family and myself. And I think the other teams that were very interested in me, I appreciate those guys, but I think what was most important for me is my family, my kids, you know, and decision to come back here was probably what's best for my family.
Did it ever go through your mind that maybe it was over? You know, you're on the sideline in week one for the first time. Did you
right.
did you have any doubts that you would play this year?
Play football again?
Yes.
Well, I was going to play again. I mean, the decision as far as would I ever play here again, you know, I never thought about it. Like I said, I was trying to keep an even keel. You know, you hope for the best. I knew I was going to play again. It's just all about making the right decision where.
I remember there was a defensive back here. I'm not sure if he overlapped with you or not. I think he did, Terrell Buckley.
Yeah,
way back in the day. He used to say how he would know it was time to get out when there were certain routes that you could no longer cover.
Right.
So I'm wondering, as a receiver, are there certain routes that you no longer get open on?
Right.
And then you'll know it's time, and you can still get open on that route.
Well, it's a little different when I'm running towards the defensive back. He's backpedaling. No, I wouldn't say that. You know, I know I'm not the same guy as, you know, 02, 3, 4, 5, 6. But at the same time, I know I can still get open in this league.
So the last time you came back a couple years ago, you caught a touchdown pass against the Ravens.
Right.
We're heading to Baltimore. You're going to guarantee a touchdown this week?
No, I'm not going to guarantee a touchdown. But what I'm going to guarantee that I know we're going to go out and practice hard this week. And that we're going to go out and put our best foot forward to win this game.
Good luck on Sunday.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks.
As Bill Belichick would say, we're on to the Ravens. And for the New England defense, that means the biggest, most balanced challenge of the year. It starts with the personnel. We know Joe Flacco is a developing quarterback. We know Ray Rice is one of the best running backs in the league, whether he's carrying the football or he's catching it out of the backfield. They also have a pair of good tight ends, Dennis Pitta, Ed Dixon. Receivers, we have Torrey Smith. We have Anquan Boldin. They can beat you in a million ways. And oh, by the way, now they're running a no-huddle attack. That'll put a lot of test on the communication for the New England defense. They've looked good through 2 weeks, but there's a big challenge on the horizon Sunday night in Baltimore. Flipping to the other side of the football, the New England offensive line, one of the many areas that didn't do its job against the Cardinals. Another big challenge this week, literally a big challenge. Haloti Ngata, Pro Bowl defensive lineman, 6'4", 330, athletic. The Ravens version of Vince Wilfork. He will be a major test for guys like Sebastian Vollmer, Marcus Cannon, Donald Thomas, if he's out there, or if Dan Conley can get back in the game. It all starts up front for New England. When Tom Brady's not comfortable, when Stephen Ridley's not comfortable, the offense sputters. That starts with stopping Ngata. Not to beat a dead horse, we all know Stephen Gostkowski missed the potential game-winning field goal last week against the Cardinals. We're on to the Ravens, but he will be needed again. The last two Patriots Baltimore games, 23-20 wins for the Patriots, including an overtime field goal from Stephen Gostkowski. But it's not just Gostkowski on special teams. How about Devin McCourty? We could use a big kick return, jumpstart the momentum for the offense. It's an area the Patriots focused on all offseason. Hasn't gotten any better through the first 2 weeks. And obviously, goes without saying, can't have big mistakes like blocked punts. Zoltan Mesko, after a strong summer, if he gets his protection, he needs to be a weapon in this game in terms of field position. The third phase of the game will be big in this one.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Now you're stepping up into pressure, and he's done that too often in two games.
See, I just think that that's what he does.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
Up until last week, I was pretty neutral on this whole ref thing. You know, all we were hearing was spin from both sides, so I just figured, you know, I can't make a decision. Both sides probably have their points, but I'll just wait and see what happens. But that was until this weekend. Then I heard about the Seattle guy who had a part-time job refereeing Seahawks practices, getting paid for it. I heard about the guy that was scheduled for the Saints game that was wearing Saints garb on his Facebook page. And it made me realize, these guys are just like us. They're fans. They're out there living their lives. If we expect them to be immune from outside forces, you know what, NFL? You better pay these guys and treat them like they are the caretakers of a multi-billion dollar business and the integrity of that business.
Last week, I talked about the dangers of making too many assumptions after 1 week of football. Well, you know what? We've played two games now, so I'm ready to make my assumption. And here goes. San Francisco is the best team in football. I said it. I can't take it back. It's out there. The Niners, right now, best team in football. Best balance between offense and defense, and I think especially on defense. They have the ability to pressure the passer without blitzing, and I love their physicality. This team tackles very well. Offensively, Alex Smith looks like he's finally getting it. I think he's with the perfect coach in Jim Harbaugh. I really like watching this team play. It's very impressive all around. I said it. The Niners, best team in football.
Some people call it parody. Others call it competitive balance. I call it mediocrity. Right now, 20 teams in the NFL after 2 weeks, 1-1. You know what that tells me? There are no great teams. There are two entire divisions, the NFC North, AFC East, made up of all 1-1 teams. What has happened to the NFL? Back in the day, the Patriots were a true dynasty. 03, 04, you had a measuring stick. If you beat the Patriots, it meant something. Now, all teams are flawed. Last year, the Patriots had one of the worst defenses in history. They vie for a Super Bowl. The Packers, same thing. There are good teams right now, just not great teams. The league may love it. I find it a little boring.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
The Patriots' offensive line has been under siege, but is Brady partly responsible for some of the pressure?
The only reason I'm going to critique Tom Brady is once upon a time, he was the greatest quarterback in the pocket. He would slide. It was subtle. He would have this sixth sense where he would make guys miss, step up, and it was perfect. Now, I think since the knee injury, he's taken a little bit of a step back there, and this year, I notice it more than ever, he's almost anticipating the rush. You know, Nate Solder's doing his job on one play, but Brady's almost assuming he has to step up, he has to rush it. There isn't going to be that protection there. And I think the biggest fear for me is he also seems scared to run. So he steps up, there's an opening, and yet he's like a dog at an electric fence. He won't cross that line of scrimmage. So I think Brady, it's in his head a little bit with the pressure.
Yeah, listen, I don't think he's quite as mobile as he was earlier in his career. Matter of fact, I'm sure he's not, especially since the knee injury. But I still see a guy who has pocket presence. I thought he moved in the pocket very well in the first week, maybe not as well in the second game against Arizona. But to me, this comes down to protection. And if he were confident in his protection, I don't think this would be an issue at all. I think that, you know, maybe there's a time or two that he's sensing something that isn't there, but with good reason. I think that there have been pass rushers around him more consistently. And this goes back to the summer, too, in preseason. Yeah, I think he's getting pressure because he's been under a lot of pressure. And by the way, the reason that they've lost their games recently, and listen, we can count them all on one hand, it's been because of a lot of pressure.
And how he's reacted to it. He has not reacted well to pressure. You brought up the preseason. He didn't react well. The times when he was getting hit, what was the common theme? He was holding on to the football and not getting rid of it in time. He's now anticipating. There's a big difference there. Everybody has to deal with pressure, every quarterback in the NFL. But when you start thinking about it, when you start anticipating it, like your guy did late in his career, Drew Bledsoe, that means you've taken too many hits and you're not as good as you once was. And I'm not saying he's done. I'm not saying he's washed up. But I'm saying what was once a strength is now a weakness, and the offensive line is being held to a higher standard where I think the quarterback is the one who's taking a step back.
Yeah, I think this is too strong. I don't think this is a weakness at all. And, you know, you talk about him holding the ball too long and anticipating pressure. Well, that kind of
because he runs.
But that seems kind of contradictory.
He's not standing there just going through his reads and getting rid of the ball. But he's running for his life.
But you're saying some of the pressure he's getting is because he's holding the ball too long. Well, if he were...
Oh, it is. He's running into pressures.
But if
he's anticipating pressures.
But if he's anticipating pressure, he'd be getting rid of the ball before he needs to. That's what we saw Kevin Cobb do on Sunday, by the way.
He hasn't reached the level where he's a terrible quarterback and just throws the ball to throw it.
No, I didn't say that you said he was terrible.
He's reached the level where he anticipates one pressure, which runs him into another. And that's what you can't do in the NFL. There's a reason you're where you are. There's a reason the left tackle's doing what he's doing, the right. And if you don't have confidence in those guys and you step up when you shouldn't be stepping up, when there's nothing there, now you're stepping up into pressure. And he's done that too often in two games.
See, I just think that that's what he does. I mean, that's how he plays quarterback, is he likes to step up into the pocket.
He used to stand there like a soldier.
No,
he would stand there tall, carrying the flag tall.
I disagree. The wide pressure has never bothered him, and it doesn't bother him today.
It bothered him last week when
his pocket gets collapsed.
He stepped right up into contact.
He gets in trouble. Now, listen, the pocket has gotten collapsed more often now than it has in the past.
There is no arguing that. That's fact. But the other fact is that he's anticipating other times when it's not collapsing. He is anticipating the collapse, and that hurts him, it hurts the team, and it hurts the confidence of his offensive line because they're actually doing their jobs on those plays, and it still looks like they're not doing the job. He's making those guys look bad on some snaps.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama. Yokohama. Technology drives better tires.
Every week we take your questions that you sent in to askpfw@patriots.com. So let's get going. This first one comes from Pat, and he said, in camp, it looked like we had all these talented wide receivers. Now Hernandez goes down, none of the receivers there, offense sputters. Why is Julian Edelman a better option than all those guys?
Well, first of all, receiver still looks pretty deep to me when you have an all-pro on the sideline who can't start for this football team. He'd start in a lot of places now, Fred. But Julian Edelman is clearly, he's advanced. They want him on the field. We've seen that. We saw that a little bit this summer when Welker was kind of on and off the practice field. But Bill Belichick's talked about it. He's advanced every year. And I personally think it must have something to do with run blocking and what they think he can be as a run blocker. He had a nice block on one of Ridley's long runs on Sunday. And clearly they're trying to establish the run, be more complimentary there. And I think that's just something they're working on, is having Edelman on the field as a blocker and seeing how that affects the offense in the running game.
And even if you kept one of those guys, it doesn't mean Edelman's off. He does things on special teams.
Right. Edelman was on this team as your punt returner, no matter what.
Right. The next one comes from Gary, and it's about the offensive line. He says he knows Skarnecki has been with the Patriots forever, but it seems like the line looks out of sync and clueless at times, he says. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I have to agree. It's a concern at this point. We've been talking about it all summer. I think the group is a little bit of in transition, but I don't put any of this on coaching. I think Bill Belichick and Dante Scarnecchia have proven over the years that they can get by with, you know, maybe a little bit less in terms of talent up front. Dan Conley was out last week against Arizona. Donald Thomas was in there, and he was also going against a very good player in Darnell Dockett. So I don't want to lose sight of that fact either. This group will get better. They always do. And I think Dante is one of the best in the business. They'll continue to improve, and I think at some point they'll settle down and they'll get their five guys. Right now, I think there's been a lot of rotation with Vollmer and Cannon on the outside. We always go through these peaks and valleys. We get a little bit concerned, and then it settles down in the end.
Yeah, I will say they're unsettled right now.
But, I agree.
Mike writes in, and he says he likes the fact that we run, but he felt that they ran too much when it was being ineffective, especially on those short yardage plays. He thought that they went to the run too much.
If we look at just the result from Sunday, then yes, they probably ran too much. But to me, I've been one who's a believer that if you want to be a running team, if you want to be able to run in January, December, down the stretch, which they've tried to do over the years with varying degrees of success, kind of flick that switch in November and December, I don't believe you can do that. I think you need to establish that earlier in the year. I think they're trying to do that now. I think you saw that in the offseason. Josh McDaniels kind of talked about it. Brady's talked about it. They want to be more complimentary running the ball. And I think they're putting in an investment now that maybe wasn't the best case for Sunday, but long-term will help them be a better, well-rounded football team when they're battling for a championship.
There was a game just last February where I heard people say they didn't run the ball
exactly
enough.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they didn't also say anything about the run game after week one when it was 162 yards. Everybody was happy.
All right. Well, those are your questions this week. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.